Hello and welcome to the Rookie Pastor Podcast. My name's Eric Mabbitt, pastor of Bailey Presbyterian Church, and this is episode 12. And today I'm going to bring you part one of a conversation that I had with my good buddy Mason Kiefel. Had him back on, and we were discussing the topic of family worship, and the discussion went so long and was so widely varied, but important and informative that we're dividing it into three parts. And so today we talk about what our churches are continuing to do to serve our church members, to and why. What we're actually doing, whether we're putting out recorded services or worship guides to assist people, is really just assisted family worship and not corporate worship. And so we talk about the distinction between family worship and corporate worship and why that distinction matters. And we spend some time discussing a often misunderstood scripture verse that people use when they talk about worship. And so I hope that you enjoy this. I hope it's informative to you. Be sure to check back the next 2 days to listen to part two and three of this conversation, because we're going to get into exactly what family worship is specifically in part two, as well as in part three, really getting into the nitty gritty, as well as a lot of resource recommendations that will really help you as you are worshiping at home and not able to gather together with the church. So without further ado, we jump into the conversation. And as always, thanks for listening. Mason Kiefel, welcome to the Rookie Pastor Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back, man.
Good to be back.
I hope you don't mind. You're going to be probably like our my like go-to co-host. Yeah. You know, just I think
because I have so much wisdom.
Well, and also we're so used to meeting together every week, so I need to substitute something for our weekly gatherings.
That's right.
So I miss our conversation, so we're just going to record this conversation.
Maybe we should just start recording all of our conversations, even at the coffee shop, too.
Probably a bad idea.
Yeah, so. Probably.
All right, so we're going to talk today about family worship. So, but before we get into that, why don't we just update everybody on what our churches are doing to help our church members on Sundays? What are y'all doing at North Point? I know we talked about the last time we talked, y'all did a live stream service, but you had a bunch of buffering problems. So what have you guys gone to now?
Yeah, so we're just doing a pre-recorded service that we record on Saturday. It seems like the last couple of weeks we've implemented just a little bit more each time. We did it without music for the first couple of weeks. Then we introduced music, and that's been working out really well. I'm adding this past week the little addition we have during the confession, whether we're doing confession of faith or sin. We're now putting that up on the screen for the church to be able to read along as I'm reciting it.
That's cool, and I'm proud of you for singing the songs for everybody. That's really
no,
good.
We're not. So I thought we were going to have to, but you know, thank goodness for great technology. No, we have two people from our church doing the songs, and then he edits it in when he does his editing. But that's been working great. I've had elders and deacons coming in, reading the passage, scripture passage, and then praying. So getting, you know, some of the leadership involved. And I think it's great for our church to see not just my face up there the whole time. I told you what Leah said to me when we first did it. She's like, yeah, it was okay. It's a lot of you. It's just a lot of looking at you in front of that screen. So
you're like, I'm sick of that face.
Yeah, that's right. So, it's been nice to have the elders and deacons and, so it's
well, I'll tell you, my wife said that her favorite part of the podcast is that she can shut me off at will.
So, nice.
Just silence.
Nice. It's been going well.
Okay, cool. So so that's going better, and you're not having the buffering issues because it's a downloaded deal.
Not from what I've heard. Everything I've heard has been positive. People say it's been going pretty smoothly. Now, I will say the only thing that for me is it doesn't guarantee that people are listening to it at the same time, but we're actually going to get into a little bit of that here today, I think. So.
Yeah. So now people who want to go see that, they just go to northpoint.org.
Yeah,
northpointpca.org. We're getting to get your website correct this time.
That's right. Northpoint with an E at the end of point, pca.org, and it's on the sermons page. And you'll see, I told Leah, I'm just so sick of looking at my face. He's bad. I can't wait to go back to regular worship just so I don't have to see my face the whole time.
It's like, I can't even look in the mirror anymore.
Just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just pulled it up. Yeah. That's a lot of Mason on there.
Yeah. That's a lot of me.
But just yeah. You still let it go to your head though. So
no, absolutely not. Believe me, the opposite.
Are y'all doing anything else, beyond, that on Sunday? What else are y'all doing to connect with people?
So we do the Sunday evening. Sunday evening is just me giving the message. We're going through the Westminster Confession of Faith. Another little thing that we added, I have the Westminster Confession, whatever chapter we're on, comes up onto the screen as I read. Some of them are long chapters. So that's been helpful. But then I do a Thursday message every Thursday where I just 6-7 minute video on a particular topic that's relevant to our current situation. And I've gotten good feedback from that. And then also we've done the men's book study. We do that every other Monday night. The women are starting up a new women's book study. They're using actually those Ligonier classes. They're doing Melissa Kruger's Contentment.
There's
about 11 women doing that, which is great. And, I'm doing communicants class. So I'm doing premarital counseling via Zoom. And, so we're taking advantage of Zoom as much as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, that's cool. So on our end, what we're doing is, on Saturdays, basically what I do is I send out a family worship guide for Sunday. And it's basically a service order that's patterned after our normal Sunday service order. So there's an opening hymn and I use MailChimp. And so I put this email together and also our music director, he records himself on the guitar, singing the hymns. And that's actually a blessing of singing hymns is that you don't have any copyright problems that you need to worry about. Some of the people who are putting out contemporary music have to worry about. So we actually put the hymn, like a PDF of the hymn in there and along with a link to the audio. And then you just scroll through it. It's got the confession of sin, assurance of pardon. It's got the Lord's Prayer for the prayer time. And then it's got, a link to my sermon on there. And, it's got a hymn of response. And then, we're going through the Heidelberg Catechism right now. So it's got that on there for our confession of faith. And then a closing hymn. So it just basically we put that together. We send that out. I've been doing this podcast. So I've been putting out episodes, with different folks. So we had just put up today, the first part of a conversation we had with one of our missionaries, Brett McAlpin, who's in Bulgaria. So we got a conversation with him about missions and what they're doing there. And part two will be released tomorrow. But last week I had a conversation with, Michael Preston, the counselor, that comes out to Meridian. And so I had a conversation with him. So I put that out last week. And so I've been doing that. And then I also been putting out, scripture readings that I started putting out on Thursdays.
I saw that. That's great.
Yeah. Just reading scripture. Just sometimes people just can't even, they're so stressed. They can't even open their Bibles. They can just hear Psalm 23 or just hear something and hopefully it'll encourage them. And if they can't do anything else, they'll just hear the word of God read to them. And then, let's see, what else And then, oh yeah, and now we're putting out, we moved our Sunday message to midweek, so I've been putting it out on Wednesday evening. I put out the installments on Ecclesiastes. So we're about halfway through that right now. We're in chapter, I think we're about to wrap up chapter 7 this week.
So I'm sorry, that's your Wednesday?
Yeah, well, we moved our evening service essentially to our Wednesday. So
Okay.
Made that like a midweek. And then we have our, standard morning message that's a part of the family worship guide. So, we actually just started a Sunday school class on Sunday evenings. So, through Zoom. So how
are you, navigating that? I just started sending, material that, Great Commission Publications is coming out with, the free material where they give like a video, a lady gives like a 7-minute video lesson along with some materials for the parents to use. So it's basically for the parents to do with their children. How are you navigating Sunday school? Are you doing all different ages, and how does that work? Different
ages? Well, this is just an adult Sunday school class.
Oh, it's just adult. Okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, what I want to do is but I want to encourage folks mainly to work on catechism right now. And actually, I didn't know about that. We use Great Commission, so I want to go check that out.
Let me send that to you. I'll forward that to you.
So that'd be great, because we do want to do that. But also, I think part of the thing is we also want to keep everything as simple as possible, right? Because we don't want to overcomplicate things. But we want to make it as simple as possible. And so, anyway, so that's what we're doing. And we're just like you, like, we're just trying to, you know, you guys over at North Point, we're just trying to evaluate, you know, what do we need? I put out a weekly devotional. So I write up a devotional based on the sermon, and I put that out either Monday or Tuesday. We also release our prayer list virtually, every week. So we do that, and then we're just trying to keep in touch with everybody. So that's kind of what we're, that's kind of been our basic ministry plan, and we're looking at things, and we're, you know, we have a leadership meeting this Sunday, so we'll be discussing kind of how things are going and what adjustments we need to make or new things we want to try. So it's been going really well. The reason we're talking about this though is because, especially on Sunday, you're doing pre-recorded services on Sundays. We're releasing a worship guide for Sundays. We're talking about family worship. And what I've been saying and trying to explain to people is that on Sundays, we are not actually gathering for worship, obviously. And that there is a difference between what the gathered assembly of God's people, and there's nothing magical about a building, but there is something special about God's people gathered together for worship. And so the question comes is, well, if we're not gathering together, then what are we doing in our homes on Sunday? And basically what I've been explaining to people is that we are doing family worship. And all these resources that we're putting out there, that's why I call it a family worship guide, because on Sundays, what we're doing is family worship. Essentially what we're doing is with all this stuff, whether we're doing pre-recorded services or even live stream services, is what I would maintain is assisted family worship. So, That's my understanding of it, and what I'm explaining to people and to even my own family is that what are we doing on Sundays? Well, we're doing family worship, but it's cool because we're sharing it with other people, but this is not the assembly of the saints.
So if I could, lay that out in a different way. So you're saying this is not public worship in a different format. This is a different thing altogether.
Yes. Yeah. It's different because it's not the same. And I think it's an important point, because I think it's a mistake, because there's this kind of common idea that I've run into. with a lot of folks who basically just kind of go, well, you know, it, whatever we do at home is basically the same thing that we do at church. And my response to that is, and I mean, I don't think they have bad intentions in saying that, but I would say, no, it's actually different. It doesn't mean it's worse or a bad thing, but it is a different thing. So, it's not the same thing. So, even this is a bad illustration, but you know, renting a movie from Amazon at your home is not the same as going watching the movie in a theater with other people.
Right.
The experience is different. The whole situation is different. There's even different genres of movies where they'll say, like, you can't really get the true feel of this movie if you don't see it in the theater. Well, I think people like to say that about, like, horror movies or scary movies because you're just kind of like, oh, I can pause it and get up and I don't get the jump scare, you know? And it's just like, well, that, you know, I don't know. It's not a great analogy, but
I think that's helpful. Yeah.
But it's something different, even though there is a connection there. They're both forms of worship. I think that's the key. And so I think people hear, oh, it's just family worship, and they think that maybe I'm insulting them or saying that what you're doing is less than. But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what you're doing is a different form of legitimate worship, but it's not the same as a gathered assembly.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when we were talking beforehand, though, you know, you brought up a really good question, which was, so what is it then that makes a worship service a worship service as opposed to what we're doing on Sunday in our homes, which I would say is family worship?
Mm-hmm.
And did you want to try to answer that, or did you want me to, or?
You asked
the question. So
I asked the question. I want to hear what you say. Yeah, go for it. And then I'll jump in.
Yeah, I kind of turned it around on you, turned your own question back at you. What makes a worship service, and I would say distinct from family worship, is that a worship service is made up of multiple families. It's made up of the gathered assembly. And I think that's the key point. I think that's the key point into the questions of why we can't do the Lord's Supper. Why it's a different, because why? Because the Lord's Supper is something to be done in the gathered assembly. Now somebody asked, what about baptism? Well, actually, I got asked this and I didn't have a ready answer for that. So I had to go look it up and I know we were talking about Scott Swain. He has a really great article called Can We Take the Lord's Supper Virtually? And anybody can just go Google that. It's really good. Mm-hmm. But he really gets into it. He's the president of Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando. He's one of my professors when I was one of the many campuses I went to my first campus. He makes the point that, that the Lord's Supper is different than baptism because baptism involves at the very least, one person baptizing another. And so we can have the debates about, you know, I mean, the PCA, a minister is supposed to administer the sacrament, including baptism. But at the same time, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, that's to be done in the assembly of the people. And we actually don't allow for private communion, because it's something that's supposed to be open to all Christians, right? Mm-hmm. But the whole principle here is the gathered assembly. And I think when we're talking about one of the key differences between family worship and the worship service is that you have the gathering of the saints, multiple families gathered together, under the blessing of the Spirit to sit under the preaching of the word. You know, it's like it's a very specific and special time that we call, you know, Sunday worship.
Yeah.
And then family worship is also special. It's just different. And so it's when individuals or a husband and wife or a husband and wife and their children gather together in their homes individually, in their house to worship the Lord as a family. And it's just, they're just separate things.
Well, and I think kind of to your point about it being a gathering of multiple families, I'm going through the book First Timothy in our morning sermon series, and 1 Timothy 4:13, where Paul says to Timothy, who is the pastor, the minister of that church in Ephesus, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. And I think there's something to that word public. The concept of these are public things that are being done within the confines of the gathering of the church on the Sabbath day. You think of the qualification for an elder is he must be able to teach. Well, he's not to be able to teach so that he can teach his children during family worship. He's to be able to teach so that he can teach the public gathering of God's people when they're called together in the worship service. And I also think,
just to add on that, just to piggyback on that, his ability to teach his children is part of the qualifications for him to engage in public ministry.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, so that concept of within 1 Timothy 3, how he leads his home is going to represent how he leads the household of faith. Yeah, exactly. I kind of lost my train of thought there. I forget what I was going to say next.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. But yeah, I think that language there from Paul, the concept of the public reading of Scripture, but also the word ekklesia, in Greek, which is the Greek word for church, literally means the called out ones. And I think it is very similar to the concept that we have in the book of Leviticus, for example, where we get one of the things that the Old Testament people are to do on the Sabbath, and that is gather together for worship, calling out all the people of Israel to gather together as one to worship God on his special day. And that idea of an ecclesia, the called out ones, like you said, from multiple families, gathered together to sit under the public reading, the public teaching of God's word from those who have been rightfully ordained, namely those elders who are qualified to teach within that public gathering. So I think all of that together shows very much the uniqueness of that public gathering as opposed to what we would say is a private gathering in our homes.
Yeah.
As families.
Well, I wanted to read a quote that, from Scott Swain's article, he says, you know, it's funny. I think I read a quote from this article the last time we talked, but he says in this time since our, he says, it is indeed a great loss, talking about not being able to take the Lord's Supper, perhaps the greatest loss among many other losses that follow from our inability to assemble in God's presence as God's covenant people on the Lord's Day. But the proper response to this great loss is not to attempt to live stream the Lord's Supper. For now, the path of participating in the Lord's Supper is closed to all of us. For now, we are called not to feast, but to fast. And so, and then he encourages us to learn how to lament and how to long for that. And so I think that is an important aspect, because one of my concerns is that there's concerns on both ends. You don't want to make like the church building some magic place where only magic things happen there. Right?
Right.
Magic worship things only happen there in this magical place called church.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't want to give the sense that what we do on Sunday is really, you know, it's just kind of a preference.
Right.
You know, it's just, we just prefer to get together. We could do this in our homes, but we really, you know, we really just like getting together because we're traditional and just kind of that's how we do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what is it that compels us to gather together?
Right.
And then I think actually this is a really great time, you know, it's for, and I've heard, you know, people say this before, and I agree that this is a great time for us to really look at the assumptions that we have about church and what church is and why we do it. And it's important for us to think through this. But I want us to kind of, I want us to talk about a verse that I think is, I think it's misused or misapplied in a lot of contexts, but a very famous and popular verse. And we were talking about this verse before we started recording, which is Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So that verse, and just feel free to jump in at any time. So that verse people will quote, I say more often than not, it's quoted as a sense of encouragement to worship when there's very few people there.
Yeah.
I've used it in that context.
I just recently used it in that context. So.
Yeah. And I would say I don't think that is a total misapplication.
It's a secondary application of it, I would say.
Agree. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Because the primary application is in the context of church discipline.
Right.
Where he's talking about that's the one where he says, you know, if your brother sins against you, bring a witness. And then if he still refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And then if he refuses to listen to the church, then essentially cast him out. Let him be as to you, a Gentile and a tax collector. And then he says in verse 18, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And essentially, I understand that verse to mean is that God's presence is there, and particularly in this, the immediate application is in the authority, and in this case, church discipline issues.
Yeah, and backing almost within the context there, you could maybe take the interpretation two or three of those who he has installed with this authority, the keys of the kingdom, as he would put it in chapter 16, where two or three of my disciples are, there I am, and where their judgments come, there I am among them. In other words, he's backing the disciples' judgments on those who are unrepentant.
Yeah, the apostles.
So kind of opposite to the way we often read it, it's actually giving a weightiness to the importance of the church.
Yes.
More than the weightiness to the importance of just two or three people, whoever it might be, gathered together.
And I think there is this basic principle there, and I think it's, you know, and I don't want to take people's comfort away or, throw a wet blanket on people who were just encouraged by, you know, worshiping at home and going, where two or three are gathered in my name. Like, I think that's an important principle to encourage us right now in our family worship that, yes, God is present with us. Because we are gathered, when we gather as families to worship him in his name, that he's there with us. And that should give us a reverence about that moment. That should give us comfort about that moment. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the concern is, I think where this verse gets misapplied is in a sense where it says, well, wherever there's just two or three of us, that's basically the same thing as being gathered together on Sunday morning.
With
the covenant assembly. And it's that sentiment that I go, well, we need to pump the brakes on that one.
Well, and the differences you were talking about between Sunday public worship versus private family worship here you see the absolute importance of those ordained leaders within the church. And I recently preached on this, Hebrews 13:7, respect your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. And I quoted George Gillespie, one of the writers of the Confession, basically saying, when a minister speaks, obviously faithfully in accordance with God's word, he says, the congregation is to receive that as the very word of God. Mm-hmm. And so there is a special authority that is brought out in those leaders that have been ordained as they publicly bring the word of God to God's people that is lost in private family worship, I would say, to a certain
extent. Yeah. And also, you get a bonus 20 reform points for quoting Gillespie.
That's right.
I can't say
I only did last it because, name. I only did it because I only knew it because I just did it this past Sunday.
Well, hey, no, that's right. No, that's good. So, I mean, we gotta keep our levels up. So it's like those online gaming platforms where it's like you gotta keep playing to keep your status up there. Well, you gotta keep quoting the reformers to get your points up. So,
yeah, that's right.
So that's the presbytery keeps track of these things.
Yeah.
So I think it's, again, like it's not about like trying to just tear down anybody or be like, oh, you have a bad interpretation of this verse, but it's the idea of we want to make sure that it's kind of like justification and sanctification. They're both beautiful, incredibly important spiritual realities about the Christian life, but we will be doing them a disservice to say that they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're both of grace, right? But one's an act and one's a work. And so one's, you know, justification is an act of grace on God's part, and then sanctification is a work of grace in which God works in us and through us and renew the whole man. And so, but we're working with the Lord on that one, but not, we don't work with the Lord on our justification. And it's just like, there is a distinction and similarly between public worship and private family worship. They're both worship, but they are two different things that we're engaging in. We are doing a disservice to both if we just equate them as if they are the exact same.
And by the way, I mean, maybe to some it sounds like we're belaboring this point, but from personal experience and just kind of the culture of the church in many ways, this is becoming more and more prominent, this view. So, yeah. And it's probably going to be more and more of a temptation now because of what we're forced into here. So this is not just something that, you know, Eric and Mason kind of a hobby horse. This is a serious issue right now, which a lot of people are buying into, and it's an important topic to discuss.
Well, I think for a lot of people, they are thinking about it in ways that they haven't thought about it before.
Yeah.
And so now I'll relate a bit of my experience, because when I was in Georgia, it was funny because I ran into a lot more people who were kind of like, I'm spiritual and I'm perfectly good Christian and I do worship at home. Mm-hmm. Which I honestly didn't really feel like those people were worshiping at home. I felt like they were just saying that, and what they meant by worship was sleep in. So
yeah.
just so worshipful. So worshipful.
Yeah.
They obviously didn't have small children or else they'd
Well, and I think it's in. I think it's just totally this thought process that is ingrained in us where God doesn't accept me based on whether or not I go to church or not.
Right.
He accepts me based on my heart or based on the things I do. And that's just such a common notion, especially in our postmodern culture today.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's something that is very serious that I think needs to be discussed more often.
Yeah, and it's what's interesting is moving from Georgia to Mississippi was, you know, I didn't meet as many people who say, well, I'm spiritual or Christian or I just do worship at home.
Yeah.
I meet a lot more people who will tell me what church they are a member at, even though they haven't gone in 20 years. Right. So like, at least right now, but I think the next wave of that is coming. Like the next point is I'm spiritual and Christian at home, right?
Yep.
And so that's like the next level there. And I've had conversations, hard conversations with people before, and I go to Hebrews and I say, okay, let us not forsake meeting together.
Yep.
And that's not what we're doing as a church. We can't meet together right now. It's not like we can and we're choosing not to. We can't,
right.
but we are trying to meet together, or doing what we can. Whereas, people who willfully said, I'm just not going to come to church anymore. and to say, look, this is, and I've just come, people said, look, I am not throwing the hammer down, because I have people come back to me and say, oh, so you're saying I'm not a Christian because I don't show up to your church on Sunday? And I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the scripture says, do not forsake the gathering of the church. It says it right there, Hebrews 10.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain to me from the scriptures why that doesn't apply to you?
Yeah.
And I just, honestly, I'm just like, look, I am captive to the word of God. Mm-hmm. And so if this is what the word of God says, then either I'm misinterpreting it, or for some reason that I don't understand, it doesn't apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, I give them the opportunity to explain to me, and, you know, and they don't, because they haven't thought that through and they don't want to. And so usually it just goes back to, well, you're just a legalist and a Pharisee.
Yeah.
Usually what it comes down to. I don't know. No one's actually called me that to my face, but that's basically what they intimate.
That wasn't Jesus' words. That was the words of the writer to Hebrews after Jesus. Yeah. And I mean, you hear a lot of that too.
So I think it's just, and also I think this is, and I'm going to cap this off because I don't want to get way off into it, but also, you know, because I think another reason people like throw it on the back end is, oh, but look at all the bad things that churches have done, that they'll get the state of the evangelical church and things like that. I'm like, okay, you know, and there are people who have had legit horrific experiences in churches, and I actually do not blame them for their attitude towards the church, because the church has failed them, because they have been grossly sinned against. And and I was like, man, if that was my experience, I probably would do the same thing. You know, I would probably have a similar attitude to the church. And so I hear you. So we're not going to answer all those questions about why people don't go to church today, but we're simply highlighting that at least one reason that sometimes people bring up Matthew 18:20 as an example of saying, well, wherever two or three are gathered, you know, it's the same as the people gathering on Sunday. And we're just saying, look, that's not the case. It's actually not true. But there is there's a blessing upon us when we gather in a very special way as the gathered assembly. And then there's a blessing also when we worship in our homes.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us today. And be sure to check back tomorrow for part two of my conversation with Mason Kuipel, pastor of North Point Presbyterian Church. If you want to connect with Mason and the folks over there, be sure to go to northpointpca.org, and you can click the sermons tab, and they'll take you to those videos that we were referencing. If you want to connect with us over at Bailey, baileychurch.com, or you can also email me at eric@baileychurch.com. If you've got any comments, suggestions, or questions, love to hear from you. And that's all for today. So for the Rookie Pastor Podcast, I'm Eric Mabbitt, and remember, just one step at a time.